Welcome to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Every Saturday morning we come to you to talk to you about legal topics. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today. Ryan McSorley answering the phones for us. We're here to talk to you about anything you want to talk about in your legal lives. In our normal legal lives, we're personal injury lawyers. Bell and Pollock has been around for well over 35 years. Bob, you've been with us how long?
About 12 years now, Brad.
Bob's been with us 12 years. We're a group of seven lawyers. We're located in Greenwood Village. We've got offices in Denver and Steamboat Springs. If you've been hurt in an accident, if you've been hurt due to the negligence of another, if you've been hurt in a car accident or any other type of injury-related matter, give us a call. You can call us at 303-795-5900 or look us up, Champions of the People, bellpollock.com. Come to us, talk to us. We'll put together a legal game plan for you. Gary and I have been doing this for a long, long time. It's called Legal Game Plan. It's something we put together to help you know what your rights are, what you can and can't do, how you want to do it, and what's available to you as far as your rights. But on Saturday mornings, we're a little different. We've been doing this show for well over 10 years. And Saturday mornings, what we do is we come down here and we come to the radio station. We take your calls, any calls you have about any legal questions. We're not a political show. We don't like to talk about politics. Matter of fact, we won't. But we will talk to you about legal matters. And if we can't help you with your problem, I don't care if it's a family law matter. I don't care if it's a estate matter. I don't care if it's a traffic matter. If we can help you, great. If we can't, we'll take your number. We'll get you off the air during the week. We'll have a lawyer talk to you. We'll get you in contact with lawyers who can help you. And we'll try and help you out on what's going on. We're going to try and go to the phones whenever we have calls. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And if you're in Steamboat Springs, call us at 970-457-1009. We have Robert on the line. Robert, you want to talk about no trespassing rules?
Yeah, who can post it? And after you post it, do you have to notify the local law authorities that you posted it, or... I always thought it was a little bit ambiguous. If I post a sign on something, what are the consequences of going past the sign? And can you post it? Does it have to be on your property? Or when does it expire? How large of an area does it cover? I mean, it's really ambiguous, I think.
You know, Robert, it's kind of interesting because, yes, you can post a no trespassing sign anytime you have the right to possession and control the property.
I say only.
Yeah, now, you know, if you're the owner of the property, you'd think you'd be able to do that. But if, of course, you've leased out the property for somebody to use the property for other purposes, now you've got a different question. Now you've got a question of what you should be doing and how you should do it and when you should be posting legal the no trespassing signs. No trespassing sign does give notice to persons that if they enter onto the property, they're a trespasser. And that relates into, Robert, what happens with respect to the personal property or the personal injury rules that apply. First of all, you could be constituting a criminal act. Most cities will have an ordinance and our statutes will be there that say you can't trespass on the property of another. If you're on another person's property, you're not supposed to be there. If they've clearly communicated to you, you can't be on their property, or if you should recognize it.
What are the consequences?
You know, you have very little duty to someone who trespasses on your land as opposed to someone you invite on your land. So if someone comes on your property and they get hurt, likely you won't have any liability, responsibility to them because they're trespassers on your property.
But does it have to be posted for that reason? Or even if it isn't posted, they hurt themselves on your land? Is it implied that they were on your land?
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. There's two sets of rules we got running here. We got the criminal rules, and the criminal rules are going to talk about whether or not you've committed a crime. And if you put yourself on the property of another when you're not supposed to, and you clearly understand you're not supposed to be there, a no trespassing sign will tell you that, then you should not be on that property, and you've committed a trespass, and you can be held criminally responsible. Most of the time, it's a misdemeanor. If you've gone on the property for no other purpose. Now, if you've gone on the property with the intent to commit another crime, it can get to the level of a felony. But if you've gone on the property and it's just an intent to invade the property of another, It's going to depend a lot of time if you're going to commit a burglary or if you're in there when you're not supposed to be for other purposes. If you put people in danger, if you cause them to be fearful of their lives or their safety, different things can happen when you're on somebody else's property. But if I'm out hunting and I walk on somebody else's property and I'm trespassing, that's when the no trespassing signs get very important, because that lets me know I'm on somebody else's property. And go ahead, Bob.
Well, for the most part, the only duty you have as a landowner is to observe, is to avoid harming a trespasser through your willful and wanton misconduct. What I mean by that is, as it's following the scale of wrongdoing, something, you know, intentionally hurting someone else. You can't, someone trespassing your property, you can't go and shoot them. You can't willfully and wantonly hurt them.
What if the person has come and gone? Is it a he said, I said, in that situation, like I saw this guy come on my land and do something, and he said, no, I didn't, but you know he did. How can you prove it? He says he didn't, and you say he did.
That's a part of why we have courts and we have juries, and we have people that come in there and they take a look at and they see what happens with regard to the person coming on the property and whether or not you can prove it. Do you have a witness? Do you have a video? Do you have a picture? If you don't have anything, how can you prove that person was on your property?
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can't. If it's a one-time intrusion now, we're talking about, once again, what they did when they came onto the property.
Right, and they damaged something.
Right, and do you want to hold them civilly responsible or do you want to hold them criminally responsible?
Who makes that decision?
I'm sorry?
Who makes that decision?
Well, initially... a landowner has got to realize that they're not going to be able to hold anybody civilly responsible for simply coming on their property without some kind of proof they've come on the property and without some reason they shouldn't be on the property, and then being able to normally get an injunction to keep them off the property. Let's say you're walking down the street and you walk onto my yard, Robert.
Yes.
What damages have you done to me?
Well, none, but I mean, say I broke something, and I was the only one that saw you do it. So, does it become moot then? I mean, is it worth pursuing because you can't prove it?
Can be. Normally, what you would do is if you came on my property and you leave the property, I can go get an injunction saying I don't want Robert to come on my property anymore, and I better be ready to be able to show a picture of you coming on my property next time, and then the court's going to hold you in contempt and going to sanction you. Now go the other way. If you come on my property and break something, I'm going to go say Robert broke this stuff on my property and I want him to pay for it. That's the damages. Now at that point, what I'm doing is I'm saying, Robert, you're responsible for what you did. I want you to pay for it. And I want you to, and you're saying I was never on your property. Now I've got to go to court and I've got the burden of proof to prove by a preponderance of the evidence in a civil case that you came on my property, you broke the item, and you should pay for it and what the value of that item is.
Can you threaten someone when they're on your property?
It depends on what kind of threat you're talking about.
Like, don't ever come back or I'll shoot you or something like that? Is that that amount to a...
I think that you've put yourself in some criminal liability. You, at that point, you've crossed the line to probably assault and battery if you start threatening someone with a weapon.
When somebody comes onto your property, you're allowed to use the necessary force to protect yourself or your family or your property.
Okay? Is that to make my day law?
Yeah. And when they come on the property, you need to be able to tell them, hey, leave or I'm calling the police. It's not a very good idea to say leave or I'm going to commit violence against you or I'm going to shoot you. It's a good idea to just look and say leave or I'm calling the police. You need to get off my property.
I see.
That's the basics I would do. Now, just happens to be, Robert, if you go to lawyers.com and you put in trespass in Colorado, Brad Pollock, you're going to find that I wrote a legal blog against this or about this. And actually, my peer review is 5 out of 5. So
I'll do that.
I guess my blog was pretty good. If you want to go to that blog,
Thanks
I wrote it about a little bit ago. I forget, a couple years ago.
Thank you.
So take a look at it.
I will.
Thank you for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Call us at 303-713-8255. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. If you're making me wait, if you're leading me on, I need to know. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Call us 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. Ryan McSorley answering the phones. We're here to talk to you about any legal question you have. If you have a legal matter that you want to talk about, feel free to call us. We've been doing this show for many, many years. I wanted to talk a little bit more about this this trespass that Robert brought up while we're waiting for some calls, and let's talk a little bit about trespass. There's two sides to a trespass. The first is the side of the criminal side, where you can hold somebody responsible for coming onto your property. That takes some kind of physical intrusion onto the property without permission. To be legally entitled from the person who's legally entitled to possession of that property. When you do that, you can be held responsible for committing a crime. That crime does not require that there actually be some kind of injury visited on another person. Just simply going on another person's property is enough to put you in some kind of criminal jeopardy. Obviously, a lot of times it's going to be necessary for you to realize that you don't have permission to go onto that property. I'm thinking a lot about hunters. I'm thinking a lot about people who are out outside of the city when they're going across property, and they don't understand, or there's no reason for them to believe that they're on somebody else's property without permission, and it's okay for them to cross over that property. I'm also not talking about when you're going across easements or when you're going across people's property for the purposes of going on a road or an easement or some kind of path that's been made available. But as you're hiking and doing things, you've got to make sure you stay on the proper path and you stay on the proper property.
Sometimes you hike across fenced area. I think there's an implied easement to let you cross property in many cases when you're hiking or riding horses or those are biking.
Now, on the other hand, if it's posted no trespassing, you got to stay out of that property. You can't be there. Yeah, if it's posted, understand now you're going onto somebody else's property without proper permission. So hikers and people who are out enjoying our free range, you have to understand that there are rules that you can't go onto other people's property. Now we switch over to the what I call the civil side, and the question is whether or not, if you're hurt while on somebody else's property, are you entitled to collect money for the dangerous condition that might be on that other person's property? And that is a different situation altogether. And what we recognize there is you end out in three classifications. And when you're dealing in this kind of realm or this kind of area, civil law provides that you have what's known as an invitee, a licensee, and a trespasser.
You know, coming up soon, we're going to have the holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And people come into your houses, you know, they're just licensees, which means that you only have to protect them from those known hazards you know about. It's actually a lower standard than if you went to a department store, grocery store, and fell, where you'd be an invitee. So if you have people coming over to your house for the holidays, you need to, you know, your liability is only that for those things that you knew about. For example, I had a case where there was a patch of ice that people did not know about it because they never used that door, and the person slipped and fell and broke their hand while they were coming to a Christmas party. So there was liability in that case for the homeowner. Well, there was no liability because they did not know that there was a patch of ice there because the gutter had overflowed and it wasn't there normally. So, standard, if you went to a department store and there was ice, if there's a gutter that overflows, if they knew or should have known about it, in that case, there might be liability.
So you have to understand that the duty that a homeowner or that any owner of property has to another all depends on whether or not you're in a certain classification. And we've talked about that before. Classifications come together when you're talking about homeowner or property ownership. If you go, let's say, to the Parade of Homes, and you're at the Parade of Homes, you're probably at that point an invitee as you walk onto the Parade of Homes, and you go through the houses and you do things. But if the Parade of Homes says it stops and it ends, the show ends, or they close their doors at 5 o'clock, and you're there at 5:15, still looking in a home, you probably just moved from being an invitee, somebody who's on the property with permission, to being a trespasser. Because now you're no longer on the property with permission because the parade of homes has ended. and you continue to be on the property should you fall or hurt. And we have had a case in Colorado where something of that nature happened. A person decided to stay there for a little extra time and wanted to look in the window of one of the cars. They were standing on the window wells, and the cover on the window well fell, and they fell down into the window well, hurt themselves. And they really had no recourse because they were after hours, and they were looking into the window from that location when they didn't have permission to be on the property.
On the same, Brad, if someone comes to your house, let's say someone trying to sell you Girl Scout cookies, or someone, PTA mom comes to the house and doing business for the PTA, she brings over a pie and you invite her into the house, her status changes probably from an invitee because she had business on the property to a licensee because she became a social guest. So as a homeowner, you have to protect that person from those kind of hazards that you know about on the property. Not that you should have known about, but you know about. Where like a department store, or when you become an invitee, the protection is that they should protect you from those things they knew about or should have known about. It's a higher standard. So you have a higher standard, you're protected when you go to a public place, has a higher standard than when you go to someone's house as a social guest.
Sure. When you run a business and you have people coming on to your property, then you're talking about them coming on, you're inviting them on to conduct business for your benefit. At that point, what you're doing is you're making them invitees, and you have a duty to them to carry out protection on dangerous conditions that you knew about or should have known about. That's an important distinction to make sure you're aware of. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Right now we're going to talk to Donna. Donna, you have a question about trespassing renters in one area that started a fire in another?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a vacant duplex, and I turned over a key to a young couple with two little kids who weren't able to find a rental, and the deal was they were going to be in the front part of the, it's an older house, and they were going to paint or clean it up in lieu of rent until they found a place. It wasn't a place that I thought was appropriate for a little kid. There's no yard, there's no fencing. Or we were going to talk about renting the front to them, but I told them the back is vacant. No one is supposed to even walk back there. That if you see anybody going back there, call me or call the police, because no one should be trespassing back there. So I get a call. I come back from a funeral. I get a call, a message from a neighbor who said there were three fire trucks and an ambulance at the house.
That's never good.
And this was hours, just a few hours after I had seen the people. And it was like 9 o'clock at night. I called the fire department, and they told me, and the police, and the fire department told me that the couple had gone in, turned on the breakers, and there was something on the electric stove, and I don't know if one of the little kids turned the knobs or what happened, but evidently there was some cardboard, I don't know if it was a box of spaghetti or if it was a big cardboard box, but something caught fire on the stove. When I went there to check out the damage, right away I called them and I said, I'm going to file charges. If you have to give me the key back right away for the front. I don't want you on the property. And the next day they did turn the key back. When I went to see the back apartment, they had taken a fire extinguisher and the whole kitchen was white.
Oh, no.
And I didn't go back as yet to clean it up to see what damage is under the foam.
Okay.
But I'm wondering. I spoke with the police, and I said, "Can I bring charges? Because I feel so violated that they would actually go into the house and back." With knowing that nobody should be even in the backyard.
What'd the police tell you?
They said, well, we could try to do that, but the DA probably won't file charges.
Okay.
The house didn't burn down. Well, that bothers me.
Are you in Denver, Donna?
No, Fort Collins.
Okay, we're going to talk about that for a minute. Donna, can you hold with us over the break?
Yeah, no, I have bad cell reception, so if I lose you, I'll just listen to the radio, and hopefully I won't lose you.
We will address your question, regardless if you're on the phone or not. We'll talk about your question right after the break, okay?
Okay, I'll try to stay on.
Great. Thank you for calling us. We appreciate it. We're going to put you on hold. Jerry, you're next after we talk to Donna. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Klugel Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bell and Paul Klugel Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio, Ryan McSorley handling the phones. We have callers. We're going to stay right on the phones. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Donna, let's talk a little bit about your situation, okay?
Yes.
And if we lose you, Donna, we're just going to keep talking until we do this. I would like to get your name and number off the air so we can help you with some of this, because both Bob and I, talking during the break, both agree that you have a reason and the DA should be pursuing potential charges against these people. The question is, and the concern I had is, it sounded like you talked about the children or one of the children.
That's why I asked for the key back immediately. When I heard there was an ambulance there, I thought, oh, my God, I don't want the liability of something happening to the kids if the parents are neglectful and let them turn on a stove.
Right. Donna, give me one second. I got a call here. I got a hold. Just hold for me for a minute. Eric.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We forgot about you, buddy. We got to put you on.
That's okay. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I got some specials to run by you guys for the week. We are on our second week of the Denver Burrito. It's our spinoff of the Denver Omelet. That's going to be a 10-inch flour tortilla with a couple scrambled eggs, some diced ham, bell peppers, onions, mixed cheese. You can get your choice, of our scratch-made red or green chili made right here in the house. That also comes with hash browns. That's a breakfast special all week. And our lunch special is that smoked pork tips I talked about last week. We're going to serve that with a dinner salad, your choice of dressing. Really good stuff. That's our lunch special for the week. And we're still going with Monday and Friday, 11 to 2. It's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And the umbrellas are up. The weather doesn't look to be too miserable. And the bottomless mimosas are already flowing for $10. Come on down and check it out. We got tons of things on the menu in addition to all those things. So come on down and have a good time with Caitlin's.
Deck looks perfect right now, Eric.
Absolutely gorgeous out.
Where are you located?
We're 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's a Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, buddy. I'll see you down there later on today.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Thank you. Okay, and I have to apologize to Donna. Donna, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, but we had Eric, and he actually does a lot of the cooking back there, so I take him away from the stoves while he's waiting to get on the line. I got to get him back to cooking for his people.
It sounds delicious. I wish we were closer to Denver.
Yeah, you'd love it. You got to go down there. I go down there quite often. I really enjoy it. But he actually is cooking, so he takes a break from the stove to talk. He probably burned somebody's eggs is what I had him do.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Now, what we're talking about, Donna, is, you know, you have to have certain intent. And the adults going back there, they're violating it because they have the intent. They know they're violating and they're trespassing.
Right.
Okay. The children probably not. But the children can't act as agents for the adults and go back there when they're not supposed to. I mean, you've got a duty and responsibility to keep the children from going back there. So you've got some trespassers here. You've got some people who went where they weren't supposed to, and they did commit a crime. So, you know, the police should turn it over to the district attorney, and the district attorney should look into prosecuting it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something else. There's probably going to be a requirement to look into that and at least look into the charges, because I think your homeowner's insurance or your insurance on the property is probably going to want to see that you filed a claim or that you filed a complaint against these people, before they start agreeing to pay for the damage that occurred back there.
Right.
Because, you know, the insurance company is going to draw a fine line between whether or not you were renting and using the property for a business or for making money, and whether or not your insurance covers that versus whether or not your insurance was something else, and whether or not it's a problem for or the property is being used for another purpose. So I think it's going to be very important that you be able to establish that they're trespassers.
Right. That's very good information. However, I have no insurance on the house.
Then you're going to need even more to have the criminal side of it, because you're going to want restitution to the damage, and these people are going to have to pay restitution, and you want the DA's office to help you with that. Because normally what's going to happen is if a judge finds that they committed a crime, the judge is going to require restitution. It could require payments over a length of time, but you've got to be able to get the restitution taken care of.
Okay.
You know, so that's going to be very, very important that you do that. So what I want to do is take your name and number off the air and help you a little bit with getting the DA to get you set up to make sure you get your property paid for, okay?
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so very much. And it must have been meant to be that you were talking about trespassing this morning.
You know, we came in saying we're going to talk about it, and then the first call was about it, and now it's great. I'm happy we were able to help you.
And it's a different side of it, too.
Yes, it's completely different side.
It's different than hiking and riding horses and all that.
It's a very important side, though. If you've got restrictions on where people can go in your property, people have to honor it.
Right, especially since it's vacant, and I'm not there to, you know, keep people off of it. And I'm thinking of posting a no trespass sign as well.
I agree. We'll see what we can do to help you, all right? Okay. We're going to put Don on hold. Thank you for calling us. We're going to go straight to Jerry. Jerry, you want to talk about use of force during arrests?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, bud?
Well, I live in Greeley, and the local newspaper up here twice in the past couple of months, roughly, has reported that during the course of arrests, the Greeley police had to resort to calling an ambulance and having medics give the arrestees injections of sedatives to calm them down enough to affect the arrest. And I was shocked when I read that. I've never heard of that anywhere in my whole life. Is that like a new trend in law enforcement?
That sounds, I don't think the police can inject someone with some kind of sedatives to settle them down. I would think there'd be a battery on the part of the police department.
Well, I was just amazed. I've never, ever heard of it. It was in the June 2nd Greeley Tribune and the July 16th Greeley Tribune in a couple of different cases, and it sounded like these fellows really badly needed to be arrested, but anyway, you know, I've heard of pain compliance and, you know, using the batons and the tasers and multiple officers, but I've never heard of injections before. That, you know, that you have to wonder, how can you guarantee what's in that that injection? I mean, there's a lot of questions related to that. It seems like it ought to be a public debate.
I find that amazing. I'm sitting here trying to think, how in the world do they think that's the proper way or some kind of proper method by which to calm these people down? I mean, you know, you've got to have the proper way to arrest them. I agree, and you don't want to use undue violence, but I just can't imagine how they think they can come up with an idea that they're going to all of a sudden start injecting something into them.
Right. I felt the same way. And the way it was reported, they just kind of casually mentioned it towards the end of both of these articles, like as if it was nothing out of the ordinary. But to me, it really is shocking.
You know, normally a police officer can only use reasonable force to take a person into custody. And that is not included that anywhere that I know of a legal right to start injecting them. You know, Jerry, I'm going to have one of my lawyers do some research on this to get an idea. You said it's taking place where? Where is it going on?
Greeley, Colorado.
Greeley's using it.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna do some research on it, and next week when we first start the show, I'm going to give you a little bit more information on it. Give us a listen on next week because okay. this is brand new. I've never heard about it, but we're certainly going to do some research and give you some answers.
Yeah, that was reported in the June 2nd Greeley Tribune and the July 16th Greeley Tribune. I can give you some more info off the air if you'd like.
Will do. Let me get your name and number, and I'll call you this week so we can get some stuff going, and we'll talk about it next week when we first start the show.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to go to Neil. Neil wants to know about enforcement of traffic laws. Neil, how you doing, bud?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What can I do for you?
Well, I received the notice of violation from the Aurora, and it's a photo enforcement type, and I would like to know the legality of that, of actually enforcing that action.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I've had a couple of tickets, and you know, they send it to the person who owns the vehicle. A lot of times you're not the person in the picture. Like my son was driving the car, and they sent me the ticket because I was the person on the title of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And I just put on the back, there's this affidavit in the back, says it's not me, and sent it back, and I never heard anything more. But I think they actually have to come to your house. They threaten they're going to, you know, they can't put any points on your ticket, on your driver's license.
Right.
They only give you a penalty. And if you don't abide by, you know, they says you need to return the ticket or pay the penalty, they'd have to come to your property and actually serve you.
Well, I was the one driving. There's no question about that. And they claim that I did not come to a complete stop before making a right-hand turn on red.
Here's my take on this. We've gone through this before, and I've seen nothing that has changed it right now, okay? So I'm just telling you what I understand is that those it's not really legally enforceable the way they've sent it to you, okay? And they can't really enforce it as far as taking any action except for sending somebody out to personally serve you, at which time when they personally serve you, they can then try to enforce it. And once they personally serve you, they can enforce it, okay?
Okay.
But it takes personal service. And until they do that, there's nothing they can really do. They'll send you more letters, they'll send you more things, but you're entitled to personal service. And how you should handle this, I'd like to talk to you off the air about.
Okay.
Because I can tell you how you should handle it and what I think you should do to deal with the agency, but let's talk off the air so I can make sure you know what's happening.
Okay.
All right, Neil?
Sounds good.
So we're going to take your name and number, put you on hold right now. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us at 303-713-8255. I do have a guest. I've got Larry from the Barry and Larry Show coming in to talk to us just for a minute about some matters as it relates to insurance and what goes on in your real property. So I'm going to ask him to come in and talk to us right after the break, and we'll be right back. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. Ryan McSorley taking the calls. Oscar and Mark, we're going to hope to get to you today, but if we don't get to you on the air, we will call you this week. Ryan will take your name and number, and the reason I'm saying that is because we have a guest today, Larry Stanley, the Barry and Larry Real Estate Show. They come on right after us. These are experts in the real estate industry. They do a great job on the radio telling people about their rights and consumer advocates. They're just fantastic at what they do. And Larry and I were talking last week. We were talking about insurance. And folks, we always talked about insurance. Listen, Larry's not an insurance salesman. I'm not an insurance salesman. Bob's not one. But you got to make sure you have the right insurance. And Larry, you wanted to talk to people, and I think it's important we talk to people about what kind of insurance you have on your property. So have at it.
Well, you know, most people think that by buying a policy that they're insured for the replacement cost of their house. And it turns out insurance companies, in order to convince you to buy their cheaper policy, will underinsure the value of your house. You have a total loss. You find out you can't replace it. And there's several lawsuits going on in the Black Forest and Waldo Canyon areas of Colorado Springs as a result of total losses to their house, and they don't have insurance, and they didn't know it.
And the first step of this is knowing what's covered. You got to know whether the fire is covered. You got to know what flooding is covered. You got to know if it's from an outside source or an inside source and what's covered. And Larry, that's one of the first things. Sit down with your agent and determine what's covered.
But a lot of these companies don't have agents.
Right, because it's so easy to buy things on the internet and buy phone nowadays.
That's right. And so they assume that they're getting the proper information. Oh, your house is worth $300,000 when it's really worth $400,000.
Right. And I know all of you think, everybody thinks out there, hey, that's no problem because if I had a fire, it's not going to burn up the cement and the foundation. I'll still have that. What about that, Larry?
Well, we found out in the Black Forest fire that cement crumbles when hot enough.
That's right. And then you're going to have all the inspectors come in. They're going to say that foundation is not good enough. Now you got to rip it all out.
That's right. And now you have a lawsuit because you don't have enough insurance and you don't think you were treated right.
And now for all of you who are sitting home saying, well, I'm not going to have a fire. That's not a thing to worry about. Let's go to the next step, Larry. And something we recognize all the time. Bob, you probably have had it. And I'm just guessing. I've never talked to you about it. 12 years, 14 years. I know I've had it. Larry, you probably had it. Hail damage to your roof. Who doesn't get hail damage in the state of Colorado?
And, the insurance companies have changed their policies and really haven't told a lot of people about this. They no longer give you replacement cost insurance on many insurance policies.
Right. And what we're talking about is they do a different way of valuing the loss. And what they do is they'll take the roof and... At first, they see if they can just patch it. Not a good idea, folks. What's that do to the value of the property right there, Larry?
It decreases it.
There you go. That's all it's going to do. So that insurance you bought, you paid for, that's being taken out every month to be paid with your payment, because for most of you people, if you're paying a house payment, you're paying what's known as PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. That's what you're paying. The escrow company, the company collecting the money, is going to send off the tax payment and the insurance payment. They're going to make sure, because the mortgage company is never going to let you go without insurance. Now, the next question is you're paying this insurance, what do you have covered? And when you start trying to get it covered and you don't get actual cost replacement value, instead of if you get what's called fair market replacement value, now you're in trouble.
That's right, because what they do is they calculate the depreciated value of your roof, and it's their formula, not yours. And then they say, well, gee, we're only going to give you 30% of the value of the replacing your roof.
And now you're really in a spot.
That's right.
Because now your roof has been deemed as something that's going to need to be replaced. Let's say your roof on an average home, I haven't done this in quite a while, but Larry, aren't we talking an average home? It's going to cost, what, $20,000, $25,000 fix the roof?
Maybe a little less than that, $12,000.
Okay. $12,000. Okay, now everybody stop and think here. It's going to cost $12,000. The insurance company comes in and says, you only have fair market value, so we're going to give you $4,000 to repair your roof or to replace your roof, and it needs to be replaced.
That's right.
You know, Brad, also, they don't tell you what deductible applies. You have a different deductible for your house and different deductible for your roof.
Right.
So
okay.
So your roof deductible may be much higher. Maybe it's 2% of insured value. It's a deductible. So let's say you value the roof at $4,000. Your deductible is $4,000. You get nothing.
Right. You get nothing.
And now there's one other issue that came up, and I just learned this one the other day, where the insurance company will go back and look at the last time your roof was replaced with a permit. If you had your roof replaced without getting a permit, they're not going to count that as the age of your roof.
There you go. So now you don't have the permit. Doesn't count as the new age. So now your roof is even older than it really was. So when they got these fly-by-night repairmen coming in, you cannot let them get on your roof. But you need to then understand you've got $4,000 to replace a $12,000 roof. You're going to have to bring in $8,000 of your own money. If you don't get it done, it's going to come up in the insurance records now because you've got the insurance company involved, and now your house just plain has diminished in value.
Yep. And if you don't replace the roof, the insurance company is not going to pay you for any damages occur afterwards.
That's exactly right. Now, the next hailstorm, you've got nothing. And go ahead.
Sometimes you have to hire an outside, your own adjuster to adjust the roof. You have to hire a public adjuster just to fight for something that you are owed and due through your insurance company. So that puts you, you have to prove that you actually had the loss.
But this all starts with, Larry, you came to me last week and we were talking about it between shows, with the importance of getting actual cash value. And that's the replacement you want. Aren't those the words you're looking for?
That's right. And what you want is to make sure you're really protected the way you think you're protected.
And you know, we can't impose on you our values. You may say, well, I want to pay the lower premiums and I'll just save the money or whatever. But for the most part, the way you want to be protected is to make sure you can get 100% replacement, right?
That's right. It's hard to find now on roofs.
That's exactly right. And if you can't find it, make sure you know what you've got and make sure you've got yourself protected. Listen, folks, listen to the Larry and Barry Real Estate Show. I almost called you Larry and Barry Legal Show, Larry. The Larry and Barry Real Estate Show after ours. They come on right after us. They're on for an hour, then they take a break, then they come back on and take telephone calls, so you need to hear from them. Larry, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for this opportunity.
It's our pleasure. As far as Oscar and Mark, Ryan's going to take your name and number. We're going to call you off the air this week to talk to you about your custody matter and your trespassing matter. Bob, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Fun, Brad.
Ryan, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. Tony, thank you for taking care of our back room for us all the time. We're going to be back next week, same time. You can call us with any legal questions you have. Brad Pollack, Gary Bell, Bell and Pollack Legal Show, Champions of the People. We'll see you next week. Thanks.